Today we conclude our stewardship series. Give freely and wholeheartedly has been the theme. The sermon for this morning is the last in that series. It's entitled The Ripple Effect. There are two readings. The first is from the very first book in the Bible, from Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading verses 8 to 15. It's only part of the story about Adam and Eve. Prior to our reading, Adam and Eve have sinned against God by eating of the tree of knowledge from which they were forbidden to eat. And now God discovers their disobedience, and not only that, he learns a lot more about what they have done, for they are hiding. Verse 8 in chapter 3, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate.'" I like that verse. "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent tricked me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel.'" I stopped the reading at that point, but of course in the verses to follow, God announces the consequences for the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And ultimately, as we know, the penalties imposed affected not just them, but every generation after them until the present time. It's the story of the original sin. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, our second reading, I'm reading the verses that are noted in the bulletin. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of Christians in Corinth who believe there's nothing wrong with eating food that has been offered to idols, and this had become a problem in that early Christian body there in Corinth. And so Paul writes to them about the matter, and this is what he writes. In chapter 8, beginning at verse 4, "Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." And then finally in verse 13, he writes these words, "Therefore, if food is the cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to stumble." Here ends the reading. Let us pray in silence as we come to the message today. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. The things that we do in life, they matter greatly. What we do matters. You and I are responsible for the ripples that come from our beliefs and behaviors. that we leave behind us everywhere we go. That's the message for today. We are responsible and cause ripples to go out from our beliefs and our behavior. Many people do not sense the ripples of their negative behavior. We know that. Oh, they know that wrongdoing has immediate hurtfulness, and oftentimes they feel guilty when they are caught. Yet they often forget that wrong also has long-term consequences. It's like a ripple or a splash that's made in the water, and long after we have seen that splash, the waves just continue to move on and affect other things. I am reminded this morning of the story of the prodigal son, how we take that story so much on the surface. There's so much more to it. We know of the son who asked for his inheritance and he went off to the far country. We tell the story about he lived loosely. He enjoyed his freedoms and spent all his inheritance with some fair weather friends. No doubt many of them may have been harmed during that time and spending of that wealth. They helped him. And his father was hurt and his leaving. The community was shocked that the father had given away the inheritance to the younger son. No one did that. And so perhaps even the family was shunned in that community. There was that kind of hurt. But often we read that story and we say, ah, yes, but the boy came home and was forgiven, and that's that. But that's not the end of the story. There was the pain that the boy continually caused his family from the memory of his actions. No doubt he had evil influence upon his friends in that far-off country, and they still suffered from what he had done, who knows what. And then there was that hostility that we do recall, the enmity between the younger son and the older one. No amount of forgiveness can evade the consequences of his acts. The ripples continue to have effect. There is a ripple of waves that you and I leave behind us long after we are gone, day in and day out. This principle is at work, of course, in many areas of our lives. Let me mention just a few. I haven't used this illustration in a long time, but take the matter of gossip about someone. If you gossip about someone, oftentimes you regret it. You may even ask the offended person for forgiveness, and they may give it. But then others pass that story along and hear it, and the damage is done again and again. The word that is spoken cannot be put back in the mouth. It continues. This ethical principle is also at work in the influence our lives have on others. Sometimes we're not even aware of how others watch us and are impressed or not by us. I have heard in the news, and I'm sure you have heard, not just recently, but over the years, of some well-known sports figure who has said to the media, "Listen, I am not responsible for the morality of young people who admire me. I'm only responsible for myself." And yet that is selfish and that is wrong. It is devilish when some of our admired athletes have their fingers in gambling, or when they are known addicts or known adulterers and seem to flaunt it or abuse others physically and sometimes get fined or make obscene gestures to mock opponents. Dare they receive monies from advertisers and say that their only responsibility is to themselves? Their very attitudes, we know will be carried out on the field in high schools the next week. The same is true of the influence of entertainment figures, lying and cheating to get their children into the best of colleges. It's only been done twice, right? People don't do that. But the ripples that have gone out from that have taught our culture something yet again. That the ripples we make in life affect our children and affect how others see us. In our New Testament reading this morning, I picked this one intentionally, even though the particular issue in it is obscure to us and somewhat irrelevant for us today. The Apostle Paul was saying that strong people need to be responsible for those who are not as strong. Did you hear what he said? Some church people in Corinth were buying and eating meat that had been first blessed and offered to pagan idols. I can only imagine that it was discounted meat, wouldn't you think? And they were saying, come on, Paul, we won't be influenced by superstition. That's silly. And perhaps they had a good point. And yet another group with the Apostle Paul as a sponsor, he said, listen, if there is any way these meats are an incentive for some people to fall back to begin believing in pagan idols, if they're doing that, then perhaps we should forego eating them so we don't cause anyone to stumble. I can't tell you how many times as a young person my mother would say to me in leaving church, perhaps we had heard it in the message, she would say to me, always remember, son, never cause others to stumble because of something you do. And that is an important message. It was an important message to me back then, and it's an important message for us all to hear today. What we do matters because it has ripple effects. We always need to rethink our actions lest we cause someone to stumble in the faith. The most obvious places of concern in our day and time of this is, of course, the misuse of alcohol and drugs, of smoking, and now we know of vaping that is taking place all over the place by young people. If you are aggressive in your driving, what example does that set for future younger drivers who may be in your car watching? The Genesis story that I read, it records how Adam and Eve left an awful legacy. After the fall, the woman is cursed. In the verses that I didn't read, after the verses I read, it says that the woman is cursed with the pain in childbirth, and the man is cursed by having to toil by the sweat of his brow to earn a living. To our point this morning, there are continuing consequences of that original sin through generations that followed. Here's the good news. That's the negative side of the sermon. There's positive news, there's good news as well. Because what we leave in our trail behind us, it can also be ennobling and uplifting. There is a ripple effect, you see, to good news. There is a ripple effect to faith. There is a ripple effect to hope. There is a ripple effect of being in service to others and the impact that that has on people seeing that being done or hearing about it being done. There are good consequences for our acts of kindness. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and we say thanks to God for all veterans each year on this Sunday closest to Veterans Day. We can never thank them enough, our military veterans who have served this country faithfully and those who are continuing to serve in active duty. Our veterans are perhaps one of the best examples of how giving of ourselves sends ripples of influence through time to each generation. We are the beneficiaries today of those who served long ago. Their ripples in time from their bravery and their courage and their commitment. I suspect we never fully realize the gracious ripples that pass from our lives to others every day in small acts of kindness. How many of us, I was thinking about Thanksgiving and Christmas, how many of us have traditions at table, like table prayers with family and friends on Thanksgiving Day or at Christmas, or habits of kindness or great traditions of faith that we have learned from home, from one generation to the next, about giving back to God and serving neighbor and loving neighbor as oneself. We have simply followed these traditions and these habits often because of a good father or a good mother of faith or grandparents who did them, and we have been blessed for practicing them ourselves. The ripples we make in life, they can be a blessing. This church can be even more of a blessing every day. I want to tell the story this morning of Norman Lobson's, who died just a few years ago in 2012. He was a prolific writer. I enjoyed reading some of his books. He educated millions of people about the importance of marriage and the importance of family. He wrote more than 20 books, and over 1,000 of his articles were published in national magazines. But he tells of a time when his wife, his young wife, was desperately ill, and he did not know how he would be able to continue to care for her day after day and still try to earn a living. It was exhausting, and one evening when he felt so tired, there was a long-forgotten incident that came to his memory. He writes, and I quote, "I remember the time when I was about 10 years of age, and my mother was seriously ill at that time. And I got up in the middle of the night to get a drink of water, and I passed my parents' bedroom, and I saw a light on inside the bedroom. And there I saw my father. He was sitting in a chair in his bathrobe next to my mother's bed, doing nothing. She was asleep. She was desperately ill. And I rushed into the room and I cried, 'Is something wrong, Father? Is something wrong with Mom? Why aren't you asleep, Father? Is something wrong?' And Dad looked at me and held his hand up, and he soothed me when he said, 'Nothing is wrong. I was just watching over her.'" That incident from childhood, it stuck in Lobson's mind and heart. And years later, without knowing exactly how, he found the strength to be a caregiver to his own young wife when she was ill. He was blessed. He was blessed by the ripples, the memories of his father's gift to him. The gift of that memory: "I'm watching over her." You and I, we can have a ripple effect in life. That's what we're celebrating today on this Dedication Sunday. We can make a difference in the things that we do for the positive. Our commitments can make ripples that move out in concentric circles to strengthen and affirm others with the good news of Jesus Christ and the love of God. Our Christian commitment and love, it can be contagious. And it starts at the waters of our baptism as God claims us as God's own. And we return to God again and again in faith and hope and dedication and commitment and in gratitude for all we have been blessed with. What did the writers of the New Testament remember about Jesus? They recalled that when he was reviled, he reviled no one in return. They remembered his openness to human need, his care for others, his concern, the many times he healed others. They recalled how he was willing to die for all, and he did. And they followed him, trying to do the same in remembrance of him. Today we come forward on this Dedication Sunday remembering Jesus' ripple effect on our lives, but also the effect that we can have on others as we are his witnesses. And so today I encourage you, let the beauty of Christ be the image that you leave behind wherever you go. And let that happen as you renew your commitment today to him. All are welcome to come forward, even our guests. You're welcome to come forward and touch the waters of baptism. If you have your gift ready for the coming year, you can put it in the basket. But all are welcome. No one is forced or coerced. But our coming forward simply says, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. Never forget that it's your choice and mine. You and I make ripples that affect the lives of others by what we do and what we give. Let us pray. O Lord, as we come now, renewing our commitment to you, remind us of your mighty acts, not only in the history of the people of Israel, but in our lives, the times you have delivered us from the bondage of addiction or the bondage of a habit and set us free, the times in which we have realized your guiding hand was on us in our life's journey. And now that we realize that it continues to be, and so we come renewing our commitment, grateful for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. And so we come. Amen.